three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
Joining us now is the Green Bay Packers' new head coach, Matt LaFleur on Wilde and Tauscher.
Packers Hall of Famer Mark Tauscher.
Matt LaFleur, Matt Nagy, and Matt Patricia. Who is the most famous non-NFC North head coach not named Matt? No, I'm sorry.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio at ESPN Madison.
Who is the most famous non-NFC North head coach named Matt? Matt Damon, Matt Ryan, somebody else.
And celebrating 10 great years on ESPN Wisconsin.
Can you repeat that question?
Sorry.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
O'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch begins now. Jesse, I can see, was eagerly awaiting the posting of number 16 in our Channel 3000 countdown of the most important Packers of 2026. They'll be posted after the show. I had a little bit of a couple things come up that I wasn't expecting yesterday, so it's not completely finished, but it'll be up shortly. Right now, and I know, 20-ish is how we like to view this. But the first four installments have been posted. Javon Hargrave at 20. Whoever's going to be the right guard, Belton or Jagger Burton, although my good friend Tom Oates, who's among the blue ribbon panelists.
Saw Oatesy yesterday.
Really?
Looks great. Yep.
Where'd you see him?
Baseball. Baseball tournament. He's a big fan. Wanted to come watch some good
coaching.
Was he
coaching. Covering it? Or
I didn't ask him if he was covering it. I think he's always covering stuff, whatever he's doing. That's what he does. Emeritusly.
He felt like Anthony Belton should have been higher than he was at number 19 alongside Jagger Burton. I kind of clumped the offensive linemen who are not Zach Tom and who are not Jordan Morgan kind of together. As Aaron Banks was 18 and Sean Ryan is 17. Tausch, is that my offensive line bias that I have? I will end up having all five offensive line starters in the top 20?
Probably. But I think with where this team is, and we've, you know, Lord knows, especially when Bulaga joins us, we spend a lot of time on it because that to me is going to be your determining factor on how this season goes.
I agree.
If they aren't any better than what they were last year, they are not going to be any better on the season. The run game was not good enough, and then, you know, we all got after Matt LaFleur and everything else. Matt LaFleur would have loved to have been able to run the football down the Bears' throats in that second half. They couldn't. And then they couldn't pick up the pressure, and that allowed the Bears to climb back in that football game as much as giving up 25 fourth-quarter points. Those things all go hand in hand. And really, since Brian Gutekunst decided he wanted to revamp and do things a little differently after that Philadelphia Eagles playoff loss a couple years ago, that has been the big miss so far from the Green Bay Packers. That group has not gotten better. And now they have retooled it. They have a young left tackle that I think has definitely enough talent to do it. And I'm not sure where he's going to fall on your list, but I would hope that it's pretty high because I think between him and Lucas Van Ness, as far as first-round picks that you need to be performing and getting better, both of those guys are critical for any championship aspirations this team has. They better have made some big steps from where they were to where they need to be.
Why do you think that group, I mean, obviously the Elgton Jenkins experiments, which I don't know, do you think in any way Goody looks back and says, you know what, I should have just left him at left guard?
Yeah, of course he does.
I don't know, because I feel like at his age, they were kind of ready to move on from him regardless, right? I mean,
yeah, but then Sean Ryan was at center, and he would be a year more. That's the problem when you do those things. And for Goody, he has said numerous times he wants young players to grow.
Mm-hmm.
It has to also match up with where you're at on a team standpoint. If your team is young, Jordan Love's first year, you're going to give some more grace. Jordan Love's going into his fifth year as a starter, fourth year as a starter. There ain't no, you know, I ain't got time for sausage races. I ain't got time for social graces. I ain't got time for that. Like, that's not where this team is at.
Now I know where we were.
Okay. Yeah, Garth Brooks.
Yeah, no, I know. I wasn't sure at first.
So you don't have time for all of this, but when you're going to be a draft and develop team, you have to find that balance. And it's a hard balance, needle, sewing, however, whatever analogy you want to put in. You can do that with a couple of spots. It's really difficult to do it with numerous spots because, like, losing a game in Cleveland while it's going on, you're like, well, you're going to have a couple of those a year. Yeah, you will. Mm-hmm. But when you're at the spot where this organization, this team is, you need to start building, because these teams that find ways to win those games, they find ways to win them at the end of the year too, because then you start believing it. And that's a thing that every team has to find its own. And usually the quarterback is the one that does that. And that's where, if you want to, you know, get after Jordan Love, I think you could start going there. You have to find ways to win those games. And let's just think of Jordan's career through his first 3 years as a starter. How many times has he done that? New Orleans Saints game comes to mind. His first win, I believe. Or maybe it's his second. We're down 18. And you have that comeback. Mm-hmm. How many times would you say Jordan Love willed or found a way to bring his team from a game that they maybe shouldn't have won or didn't expect to win, and they did? Kansas City up there, that was a game where they didn't have to come back to win, but he just – how many times have you had games where you're like, boy, it's going to be tough. I don't know. Can they pull it off? It's less than five.
Yeah, I don't think there's a ton of – like, there are certainly games where he was just
– Detroit up there on Thanksgiving.
Couple of Detroit games.
I think right. Detroit, there's been some times where we're like, I don't know, man. It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough.
The Dallas playoff game. They weren't expecting
to win. He was
dominant.
That was, Jesse, you took the words right out of my mouth. There's a couple games where he was just awesome from basically start to finish.
And why I bring Jordan back up in that is because when you're a quarterback, and I've said this, I bet I've probably said this over 1,000 times, whether it's if I'm talking to somebody or this. The biggest attribute a quarterback has, it's not about how great their arm is or how well they move. It's the getting the belief of the other 52 dudes in that locker room. Because in today's sports marketplace, college football, it doesn't matter. You have to find a way to bring people to believe it, because so many people are mercurial, however, whatever that word is, where it's just about, I just want to get a check and I want to do this. When you can get those guys to believe that we can get that done, this is a great example. Baltimore Ravens are coming in. I don't know if this is my first or second year. It must have been my second year. And the Ravens were the biggest, baddest bullies on earth. Oh, my God, nobody can run the ball. Nobody can do this. And it was just one of those first times that you really recognize we got Brett Favre, and you could tell all week, Brett, there was something. The belief that we had, that we had a plan and we were going to execute it, and it didn't matter because we had him. And that part, we went and kicked the blank out of the Ravens at Lambeau. And those are the times when you start looking at it and say, that's what that quarterback position does. And right now, I do wonder. I think that belief has grown exponentially. But those games were – it's simple to think, well, Atlanta's coming to Lambeau. We're going to beat the Falcons. Oh, we're going to beat such and such. When you have the tough road games where there's a lot of doubt outside and inside a locker room, that's where that quarterback makes the difference. And that's where I want Jordan to get.
I'm going to take the break to try and think of other games that I'm missing. Like, the Bears come back to tie the game at Lambeau, and then he leads a touchdown drive. Everybody remembers the pick that Keyshawn Nixon has in the end zone to seal it, because the defense obviously let him come right back down the field. But it is 21-21, right, in the fourth quarter in that game, and he leads a touchdown drive. I think it maybe ends in a Josh Jacobs touchdown run, so it's not a touchdown pass, but That was clutch. I'm going to try and think of a few more of those. Meanwhile, I don't have time for a getaway right now, although I am going to be off the show for a few days. You don't have to hop on a plane or board a cruise ship to feel like you've escaped. Your next getaway is waiting in Milwaukee at Potawatomi Casino Hotel. Start with the stay. The biggest hotel rooms in Milwaukee, nearly 500 beautifully designed rooms and luxury suites that are perfect for a weekend reset, a date night, or celebrating something big. And if you're hungry, you've got so many options, from premium steaks at the Dream Dance Steakhouse to pizza, burritos, and quick bites at the Marketplace. Rockin' Brews, which is my favorite for both the salmon and a high-energy vibe. The Canal Street Cafe, Ruyi Asian Kitchen, Cream City Coffee Company, food and drink specials happening all the time. Elite play, luxury stay, bet on flavor at Potawatomi Casino Hotel. More Wildy and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
This is Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
So since we've spent a good portion of today's program,
Jason, if I may, good buddy here, Jelly, as he does quite often, had an interesting point. He said something off air, and I said, why would you not say this on air? Because I was asking the question to you, so he was being polite and didn't jump in. And I'm not getting into signature wins, and I'm not like that was not the meaning behind the conversation we were having. I think there's just the question mark of, you know, how many big time, I can't believe we got this blank guy. I know you remember this, but there was a game down in Dallas, and the Cowboys went down and scored. And Joe Buck and Troy Aikman are still on Fox, and they said what everybody else thought is they gave old 12 too much time.
Is that the 2017 game where he throws the touchdown to Devontae?
I thought it was the playoff game with Jared Cook and the Crosby field goal.
But my point is, it happened more than once.
Right.
But it was kind of like you just were like, I don't give that blanking guy the ball. Don't do that. And I don't feel like and to Jeremy Fowler, kind of bring this thing all full circle today, because that's what we do. You don't feel that way. I right now don't think – do you think the Bears last – or don't give him the ball back? I don't know. You'd have to ask the Bears. I don't know the answer. The guys in the locker room, I think they are looking at, like, let's just get the – is it more about having Micah being Sandman? Because we had great – we had Clay. Everybody and their mother's like, give him the ball.
Mm-hmm.
We had guys saying, don't bring kicks out the end zone. Just give him the time. They're cutting guys because they returned kicks and they fumbled it. But that's the difference. And again, I don't think it's fair to Jordan to make that comp to Aaron. But when you're talking about this upper echelon, top 10, top 5 guys, Josh Allen, don't give him the ball. And you can say, well, they don't always get it done either. But I just am legit asking that question. And Jesse, what did you say in my ear that you didn't say for public consumption?
Well, you were asking about unexpected wins and surprising wins and pulling one out. And I said, I think Malik Willis did that more than Jordan Love has.
Jason?
It's a hard thing to dispute.
Sound graph. That's a great sound graph. Well, which games did Malik Willis? Because
the Colts game.
In fairness, though, to
pulls
Jordan.
The game I'm thinking of is the Jacksonville game where he goes in after Love is injured late in the first half, and he makes an enormous throw to Jaden Reed to convert a third down the field, and it sets up the walk-off field goal to win it by Brandon McManus. That's the play I think of there. The other two games were probably unexpected that they won that season because he was the starter and he had been there for 19 days before the first one.
expectations matter, but Jesse said that, and you're like, it's hard to dispute.
No, look, the Cowboys were the number two seed. We all look at that performance and go, God, Jordan Love was star-spangled awesome that day in Dallas, and he was.
There's also pick six. There's a lot of other stuff that happened in that game.
Right, and nobody necessarily – that was unexpected. Like, even if you thought Mike McCarthy's team wasn't that good, I don't think you expected in his first playoff game for him to waltz down there and play at a high level and for them to basically run the Cowboys out of the building. He was playing really well late in the season.
Yeah, not to blow them out the way they did, but yeah. No, I think that was more of a coin toss type of game. But I guess the question is, and this is what I complained about 2 years ago. How many times the Packers lineup that year we lost to Philly and beat a team that we should have? We beat a bunch of teams we should beat.
Right. 11-6.
We never could beat the good teams that year. And until you kind of start chipping away at that, and that's part of the Micah Parsons, I think, effect coming forward. Because we had some games last year that I think we won that maybe people were, you know, Pittsburgh and et cetera. But that's not what we're looking for. And I guess we just – the question I have is, do we want our quarterback – to go back to Jesse's analogy earlier – do we want him to be Superman and sometimes he's Clark Kent in that dump where he's fighting himself? Or do we want somebody that we just know what we got every blank and timeout and that consistency can get us where we want to go? We've had Superman / Clark Kent for a long time. I'm not sure that's what Jordan Love's going to be.
And to be fair to Jordan Love,
I don't know who he would be then in that Superman movie. Then I don't know the other characters. Who is the Steady Eddie, like, I guess maybe the editor at the Daily Planet?
Lois?
Maybe Lois? I don't know. I got to immerse myself in that culture. I don't remember that.
Was this not what was being discussed about Aaron Rodgers the first several years? He was the starter? Especially
I was in it, so I can't tell you what the narratives were. I don't think it was winning a playoff game. We lost one.
No, but we had this whole thing. I mean, obviously they win the Super Bowl. You win the Super Bowl in his third year as the starter. But like those first 2 years, the big knock on him was, oh, he didn't have enough fourth quarter comebacks. There was a guy, Scott Kazmaar, I think his name was. He worked for Pro Football Reference or Football Outsiders. It was just all about the not good enough. Never good enough. Not enough comebacks. And that first year when you were protecting him in 08, that was also the year where you guys had a bunch of fourth quarter comebacks and then the defense gave it back.
Didn't win games, yep.
The comeback wins according to Pro Football Reference and Scott Kazmaar, I got the name right, he had two in his first year as the starter and two in his second year, and there's only one that he was credited with when you won the Super Bowl. And it makes me pause and say, like, Jordan Love was great in that Pittsburgh game when he had both Tucker Kraft and Christian Watson. Mm-hmm. He didn't have to come back. I went and looked, and we mentioned the Thanksgiving game. I don't know if you remember this, but the Packers had a 24-14 lead. Then the Lions get a touchdown. And then the Packers go down and get that second touchdown pass to Wicks to make it 31-21 with 1:44 left in the third quarter. The only scoring after that is a field goal by Jake Bates with 2:59 to go. Now, does Love hit the big fourth down pass to Wicks to seal the game? Absolutely. But he's not going to get a fourth quarter comeback for that. They weren't losing.
No, it's not. But we gave him a point for that, if we're keeping score, for games that were, I don't know, going to be tough.
Yeah, right.
It's not. But I don't necessarily care as much about
that. Is that a signature win for him?
Yeah, for sure that was a signature win for him. That I think I'm questioning more, game didn't go well. We were behind, and he kind of wills you to a victory. How many will games has he had?
Yeah, I
New Orleans Saints.
Other than that New Orleans game in which he did not play well I don't think there's a
Jason,
ton of them.
Sometimes that's what you're looking for. I think
right. I mean,
you're always lecturing your daughters about resiliency and getting up right. off the
Adversity.
Mat and all of those yep. things. And that's the question. It's like sports are super easy when things are going great and people are telling you got sports writers telling you how great you are and all like that. That's easy. It's when people doubt you and you doubt yourself and you find a way to come back and do it. And I do wonder how many times as fans have we had a lot of doubt that was completely misguided when it comes to Jordan Love-led football teams? Because it's kind of played out to, I hate to keep giving Jesse attaboys, but it's kind of played out the way it's supposed to. Like everything is kind of, if it's on track, fine. But if it's not, have we been able to reverse course and make some headway going forward? And I don't know how many times we have. Like if it's boom, boom, stop, get gas, get forward, we're going to be going again. Okay. How many times has it been, we got a flat, got to get that fixed. Oh, we got this, got to get that fixed. And then you're moving forward again. How many times have we done that under Jordan's administration?
I think the game that I am going to use was during that 2024 season, and it was probably their best win, given what Houston ended up being. They're at Lambeau Field. This is, again, not
yeah,
a game
that
probably springs
win.
To mind, right? But they trailed, I think, 19-14 at halftime. And they take the lead 21-19 about midway through the third quarter, and then they're down 22-21, and he's got a direct, in the last minute 44, the go-ahead field goal drive, and he does direct it. Now, he threw two picks in that game. He also threw three touchdown passes in that game. So that might fit the bill for what you're looking for, but they are few and far between at this point. How many times
for
can
many
you
think? For as many wins and for now a good enough sample size, I'd hope there'd been more of those. There's been more gut punch disappointments than there have. And listen, that happens in sports. I've said, that's the way sports are. How many times has it been the other way? And it's been pretty limited. And that's why Jordan's stats and his progression and how he's improved, those have all been, I've liked seeing that pattern. This is that next step. This is your year four. Let's find some, and we could look at the schedule. And Jelly, when you get a second, fire the schedule up on the thing. There's going to be some games. The Cowboys game last year, Cleveland, Denver. There's going to be some games on this schedule this year. It might be the Shine On Sports game where maybe it's ugly. Should we lose to the Jets? Absolutely we shouldn't. But it might be one of those games where we just had an emotional win up in Minnesota and guys are like, maybe a couple guys got hurt and you're tired. It's a noon game. It's the third quarter and we're down six because we've played like junk and we end up coming out of it and win that game. It could be one of those. It could be any of these. But Carolina at home last year, that would want to have been find a way to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
And it's at the time, it doesn't seem like a big deal. But then that adds up, and instead of being your division winner and having a bye or not having to play or being able to play at home, you have to end up going on the road, and you end up losing a game you shouldn't because you lost that game against Carolina, against Cleveland, that you shouldn't because you gut out. We need more gut out wins.
Sounds like a sound clip to me. Tausch, before we get to Wonelli, you need to tell us about UW Credit Union.
I am a proud member of the UW Credit Union, and for every stage of life, UW Credit Union is here for every you. Proudly serving Wisconsin for over 90 years, they're going to help you reach your financial goals. UW Credit Union has that great mobile app that I've been talking about. Simple way to check accounts, make transfers, and more. It is a smart play from the pocket. Join today at uwcu.org. Insured by NCUA. Terms and conditions do apply.
Wonelli is next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
The YouTube comments are still debating the Jordan Love, Caleb Williams conversation, which I love because I, again, this is exactly what I envisioned, a little more douchiness than I was ready for, when I suggested how fun it would be if both these guys were good, which they are. And we'll see who ends up being the better quarterback, but it is definitely a point of contention among the fan bases. Time now for Wonelli.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Sirocco's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, "Mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I gotta stay hungry for the Crimson Tide."
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for
Wonelli
on Wildy and Tausch.
Big Milwaukee Bucks news over the weekend.
Yeah, what? I heard that.
The Milwaukee Bucks returning to local TV. Over-the-air television.
Will that be statewide?
There will be statewide affiliates available. Yes. That'll be announced coming. But yes, Milwaukee Bucks games will be available on over-the-air television on My24 in Milwaukee, returning to their roots where they used to air when I was a kid, when a lot of us were younger fans cheering on the Bucks, the purple and green, Ray Allen, the good old days on My24.
Well, who's going to win it?
The Bucks. The Bucks. I think the... You don't see very often universal on social media. You don't usually see universal, awesome idea. Everybody, the Bucks put that tweet out. Every comment felt like, this is awesome. This is smart. This is great. Now, how you go about doing that moving forward, I think it's a fantastic idea, especially with the fact that whatever those other networks were called kind of... I think this is great, and in a time when you're going to be looking to garner positivity amongst your fan base, very smart move by the Milwaukee Bucks.
I agree. I thought you were going to say that Bam Adebayo punched Tyler Hero in Vegas.
There was that old thing.
Whoa, Nelly!
This is much more positive.
Well, and then Tyler Hero's talking over the weekend.
I didn't like Tyler Hero's commentary.
I didn't have a problem with it. I mean, I thought people were overreacting. I think people just don't want to like him.
Why don't they want to like him?
Because he snubbed Wisconsin and kind of laughed about it now in this interview he did in Summerlin or whenever he was. Like, I didn't think it was that big of a deal. Like, he went to Kentucky. He wouldn't be where he is now if he didn't go to Kentucky. I didn't think he said anything wrong.
Yeah.
It's just if you want to play the PR game, I guess.
Yeah, I didn't like it. Yeah, the PR game wasn't great. But I think, you know, there was a lot of questions what's going to happen with Tyler Hero. I think there still is because there's going to be decisions. I think he's only got 1 year left on his deal, right?
I think that's right. Yeah, he appeared to be a trade candidate when they acquired him.
So we shall see. What is the old, Elliot Wolf, you can't come home again? He's coming home. We'll see how that goes.
So the quote that Jesse and Tausch are referring to, he was on NBA League Pass. I don't know if this was before or after he got punched by Bam.
It would have been after he got punched by Bam.
That's what I thought, yes. I just wanted to say Bam and punched in the same sentence. Why did you decommit from Wisconsin? His answer, while chuckling... Just look at it like, if I didn't decommit, I most likely wouldn't be playing on the Bucks right now. So it's just a business decision, and let's leave it in the past.
Let's leave it in the past. I agree.
Do we really believe that? Like, if you're a good player, you're telling me that if you'd played at Wisconsin, you wouldn't be in the NBA now?
Well, Sam Decker and Frank Kaminsky made the NBA.
Well, what's Johnny Davis up to?
He made the NBA. It's what do you do once you get there, though? Like, I think all those guys you just mentioned were all first-round picks.
Yeah, I don't want to jump into this negativity. I want to give Tyler Hero a shot. I was not happy with how it all played out, and I am not one of these guys like, you have to stay here, even though that's...
I understand.
I am not. I am going to stay positive and hope Tyler Hero comes in. I think he's a really good player, and I think it would be a great story if he came and was successful. I'm not going to hold everything against him. It's a new era for Bucks basketball. It's now... on free TV.
My24.
I'm on board. I am not going to delve into the negativity, at least not yet, not till we lose a couple games and he stinks.
Nelly!
He was the 13th overall pick in the 2019 NBA draft. I don't blame him for not wanting to get into that. I would just say that I'm not sure what the reason would be that if you'd have gone to Wisconsin and been one and done, you wouldn't have ended up in the NBA.
Well, Jason, if we're being fair, John Calipari and the Kentucky Wildcats have put a lot of guys in a lot of NBA situations. The Wisconsin Badgers, it's been more about team and trying to win and do it this way. So if you take your Wisconsin bias hat off, I see where Tyler Hero's coming from. I don't have to agree with it, but I see his main point. And his main point is he's there. And his path that he took was the right path for him, even though I don't like it. We can complain and say, well, that's not a – that's what – the reality is right there.
No, I think if you remember when this happened – off?
No, I'm telling you, we're due for a break.
This is
the signal I give when we say it's time for break.
You want to get into that game? I'll flip you off. I'm fine with that.
This is not flipping you off at all.
That's not what you did. But we do need to go to break. And I appreciate you.
We didn't, if I recall correctly, I don't think we harshly criticized him, by the way, when he decommitted.
I was upset about it.
We both said.
No, I was irritated about it.
Yeah, well.
And I don't,
we need to get to break because Jesse's giving him a finger.
I didn't love the fact that he made a big spectacle about it. Like, you want to not come to Wisconsin? All right, great. Like, the Knipples. Would I love for them to play with Guy? Absolutely I would. But, hey, it is what it is. And old boy's doing pretty good. You can do pretty well here, too. Come on in, Cager. Let's come on in.
We'll wrap things up next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Baseball has never seen a pitcher like The Miz.
The 105.5 in the first inning was record-setting. He is baseball's Chuck Yeager, right? He's just going to keep on breaking the sound barriers.
This is 100.5 ESPN, Madison's home of the Brewers.
I think he's got the potential to be great. I think he could be that caliber of a guy. Consistency is what gets you there, though. And you got to go do it. And you got to attack every offseason as if, like, this is the last year of your career and, you know, there's no looking back. What he needs to do is probably lean into the fundamentals a little bit more. You know, I know for me, when I was watching Brett Favre, one of the things that Mike Holmgren and Andy Reid would say is like, hey, listen, we don't want you to have his fundamentals. We want you to have the other things that he does, but we don't want you to have his fundamentals. And so there's a fine line between like cutting it loose and playing free and playing sloppy.
That is Matt Hasselbeck from last week. God, he was good. Jordan Love leaning into the fundamentals this year. If he does, what does this season look like?
Good stuff. Be good stuff.
That's it for us today. Thanks for coming along for the ride. We'll be live from the ESPN Milwaukee Delzer Open tomorrow at the Bog. So be ready for that. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.
Miss any of today's episode of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin? Commercial-free full show podcasts are available free on the ESPN Wisconsin app.